The following is a King Fisher Media production.
Hey guys, you're listening to the In the Blood podcast. I am your host, AC Bergen Fisher. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, whether you are new or returning listener. I'd like to invite you to consider what is being shared with an open mind and a receptive heart. Before we begin, though, the following disclaimer. I am a coach, not a therapist. Everything I share is opinion-based and from personal experience. If you require therapy, I'd be happy to help you explore your options. For those who would prefer coaching with me, that could be arranged via email at intheblood.pod@gmail.com. Finally, if you'd like to support this project for as little as $5, you can do so by visiting buymeacoffee.com/intheblood pod. So for this week, I had all sorts of things planned out and at least roughed out in my head. I had a really clear idea of where I wanted to go. And I found that when I was starting to do notes, preparing for the things I was going to talk about, I couldn't quite connect my thought pattern with my own honest state of mind. And what that means is that in order for me to present the message that I wanted to present, I think I would have had to misrepresent myself to a certain degree to make it sound like I had myself a lot more together than I actually am. And as tempting as it was to come across sounding like somebody who had his head screwed on straight, I realized that if I was going to do that, then I would be risking the trust that so many of you have put in me to be honest and transparent and authentic. So what I decided to do was to tear up my notes and just speak freely and honestly from the heart. And hopefully we get through enough time together where you don't feel like I'm either shortchanging you by going too short or rambling to the point where I've gone too long and I've lost your attention and therefore lost the message that I'm hoping to put out there. So for those of you who listen to me often enough, you can probably already hear that there's a little bit of a wobble in my voice. I'm a little bit shaky, a little bit emotional. And I've been feeling that way all week, actually. I mean, it all started off Sunday morning. I've been attending services at a Unitarian church close to where I live. And for those of you who don't know, a Unitarian church is a congregation that is made up of people of all faiths or no faith. And we get together and I guess some people would call it worshiping. Some people would call it just interacting, celebrating the human experience. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's a basic church format, right? I mean, you've got your songs that are sung. There's a message that's put forth from the pulpit. But there isn't like a huge emphasis on any specific god or gods. Anyways, it being Easter Sunday, I wasn't really sure how they were going to put a not religious spin on that because, I mean, Easter's is one of those holidays where it seems to be all about Jesus. But what they did instead was they were talking about transformation rather than the resurrection being a literal death and a rebirth, but talking about how we can die to our old identities and then be reborn into something different. And to really, really drive this point home, they had several drag queens come in and put on a fantastic show. And I was fully expecting to be entertained by this show, because I mean, with the combination of the music and the dancing and the over the top makeup and wigs and flamboyant costumes, it just, like, it couldn't have been anything other than entertaining. And I wasn't therefore surprised when, you know, it was just a lot of fun for me to watch this. But where things started to get a little bit different for me was when each of these performers in turn took to the microphone and began to describe what their experiences had been prior to coming into their own different gender identities. You know, whether it be queer or trans or just, you know, anything other than what our Christian society might label as quote unquote normal. And I began to tear up when the first woman was talking and she was explaining how she had grown up in the church and how faith had been weaponized against her, where she had been taught that there was something broken or flawed or sinful about her, how the community that she grew up in and that she loved and respected had none of that love and respect to return to her, and how for many, many years now, she's been struggling under the weight of this belief that she carried in her heart, not understanding that there were places where she could go with that belief where she wouldn't be faced with harsh judgment or ridicule or threats of hell, that sort of thing. And the reason I was so emotional is twofold. I mean, one was that I know all too well what it's like to grow up in a church environment where I didn't quite fit in, where there were things about me that maybe the other people who shared my faith didn't care for so much. But the things I struggled with were nowhere near as big as the things that she was describing. And she became very, very emotional herself when she was thanking all of us for creating such a warm and welcoming environment for her and the other performers. And as I was listening to her talk, it just, I had this overwhelming urge to go and to apologize. And the reason I felt the need to apologize is because I was thinking about the person I used to be. I used to be a bigot. I was racist. I was homophobic. I was transphobic. I was every kind of phobic because that was my normal. That's what I grew up with. And it's not like I'm trying to shift the blame or shirk the responsibility of my horrible attitudes and actions. I'm just offering some explanation of where it came from. You know, I was the person who, in years past, I would have been, instead of inside the congregation welcoming these performers, I would have been standing outside with the other narrow-minded protesters that were there. I would have been holding that sign that instead of like the theme said, drag me to church. They had these people that were standing outside with signs that said, drag me to hell. Just making a big show of the fact that these beautiful people whose lives were causing nobody any harm were somehow disgusting to these bigots. But that's who I used to be. The shame of all that. God, it was just, it was so heavy. I needed to apologize for who I had been. The second performer took the microphone, told a very, very similar story. And now I was going beyond the point where I felt shamed to the point of needing to apologize for my past self. I really felt like I just wanted to slide right under my chair and hide there in shame. By the time the third and fourth had shared their stories, I didn't feel like I belonged there anymore. All of them offering these tearful thank yous to the congregation, including me, for creating a loving and welcoming environment that was free of judgment, allowing each of them to shed their preconceptions about what faith and what church meant to them, allowing them to reconnect with things that were important to them that had been taken from them because they weren't good enough, they weren't normal enough, they weren't straight enough, you know? And while I probably should have stuck around and said something, I should have owned it. I left. And the reason I left was not just because of the shame. The shame was a sizable piece of it, but I wouldn't even say that that was half of it. The majority of the reason why I left, I realize, is that I knew that these people that I had been so cruel to in the past would have forgiven me in an instant. And I didn't want to get off that easy. And while I've been an outspoken ally for many, many years now, I still can't shake off the feeling that I owe the community something. Something more than saying, hey, I'm on your side now. Me speaking up on their behalf, it doesn't unsay the words that I said. It doesn't undo my actions. It doesn't erase the fact that I stood there in such a cruel and judgmental way, holding those signs, protesting these people that were just living their lives. I'm not that person. I don't want to be that person. But at the same time, I find myself not being able to forget that person either. And you know, I talked to so many wonderful people over this past week, and they kept on telling me, look, this past experience of yours, this is what drives you to become such a powerful ally. This is what validates your voice. You need to learn how to let go. Stop letting the past hinder your present and your future. Learn to forgive yourself. Release the negative emotions. You've learned from your mistakes, so don't let them control your life. All great stuff. But even if it was within reach, I don't want it. All of these beautiful people that represent the colors of the rainbow, the letters of the community. I owe all of you just the most deep apology, which is nowhere near enough. And I'm not looking for your sympathy. I'm not looking for your forgiveness. I'm not even looking for your understanding. I just want you to know that I recognize what I have done. And these are things I will never do again. And these are things that if they are being done to you, I will stand with you. I will stand between you and anybody who means to cause you harm. You are beautiful. There's nothing wrong with you. You're exactly the way you're supposed to be. And I love you for it. If you've got thoughts on this or anything else I've shared, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, my friends, especially those of you in the community, you know who I'm talking about. Much love.